This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome into another live edition of 410 Sports Talk. I'm Glenn Martin here with my co-host James Haskell, and of course DK is in the background helping us out. But Jimbo, before we get started, who is this episode brought to us by?
Yeah, as always, this episode is brought to you by our proud sponsor, BetOnline. Of course, BetOnline is your number one source for the NBA and NHL playoffs right now, which are hot and heavy. Pretty crazy what the Mavs have been doing. Every stat, every matchup, even live odds while the games are being played, which I think is really, really cool. When the game's over, head on over to the online casino as well. If you want more, you haven't scratched the itch yet, get in on a game of blackjack, poker, unwind with one of their 150 slot games. And then, of course, in order to do all that, head to the website today to get in on the action. And you can use the promo code BLEAV for 50% off your first deposit. That's B-L-E-A-V, BLEAV. At Bet Online. Check out the website. It's an easy way for you guys to support the show, easy way for you to have some fun more than anything. So go check it out.
Absolutely. And thank you guys for showing up and watching the episode here. We're going to be covering week two OTAs for your Baltimore Ravens. Get into some of our reaction from the press conferences that we heard. We heard from a few guys. Rashad Bateman was certainly a popular topic. So we heard from him, but also heard everyone else asked about him, including his wide receiver coach, Greg Lewis. We'll get into that. And we got some transaction news to go over. And I guess maybe this is not a bad place to just start here, Jimbo. I thought this was interesting. I wanted to get your take on the news at when I saw it, because it looks like a former Raven who turned coach is going to go back to try and be a player again. And so I wanted to get your take on this guy. I mean, he's a fan favorite, a guy that a lot of people loved and certainly.
I was wondering about this, if this would happen. I had a feeling.
Did you? I was surprised.
Yeah, I'm surprised as well, because I felt like the biggest problem with Tony wasn't that he was out of shape. It just seemed like he lost a gear.
Right.
It seemed like the top end speed. He was just a step late.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you turn that around.
Like, I'm sure his body feels. So if you guys haven't seen former Ravens safety Tony Jefferson, who's now currently somewhere in the coaching ranks here in Baltimore.
The scouting ranks, right?
Scouting, okay. So, yeah, he's like some area scout or something to that degree. He's trying to make a comeback. He's been staying in shape, obviously training, keeping himself in good condition. And I'm sure his close proximity to the team is making training and all that stuff a little bit easier. But it looks like he wants to get back to playing it. And like you said, Jimbo, never was an issue of like this guy keeping his body in shape and being a worker, but you can't turn back the clock. And my whole thing was, I just thought he lost a step, and a guy who was never really great in coverage, who was more known for his, you know, box work and getting up near the line of scrimmage and helping out. I really think, I'm sure his body, see what it is, Jimbo, is his body probably feels amazing, right?
Yeah.
Like he's car crashes have been going on every moment of every day. Like any chance that, I mean, we like Tony, but any chance do you see impact, starter, anything?
I don't know if he makes a roster, man. And that's the other thing too. Does he want to go through training camp? Does he want to do all that?
Does he want to be 53 on the roster?
Yeah. You know what I mean? I don't know how I feel about this one. I kind of feel bad for Tony. I mean, obviously, I don't know. Look, I'm going to say this. I hope that has nothing to do with finances. I don't think it does. Tony seems to be a responsible guy. Got a nice contract from here in Baltimore. You just never know, right? and you hope it's not that. But certainly, there's every paycheck between being a scout and a player.
Big time.
You know, so you hope for the best for Tony, and you want him to go out there and kill it. But I feel like this one's a stretch for me.
Yeah, I'll be rooting for him, though, nonetheless. And, you know, he's still a Raven. He's always a Raven.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think his chances are greater coming here. But we are pretty lean at the depth at safety right now. I'm just saying.
Good point.
Pretty lean.
Maybe he is just the guy we've been looking for. Yeah, I guess we'll have to wait and see where if he lands on his feet. But we also, quickly, I wanted to show Nate Wiggins, man, he's showing off. He's working. He's not a guy that's, you know, resting on that first round pick and making sure you're thinking that he's just got this team made. This guy is not just working, Jimbo. He's making sure you see it, okay? Or at least others are making sure that you see this guy putting in the work. So I'm going to throw this up here. You can tell me if you like what you're seeing out of Mr. Young Nate Wiggins here, showing off some speed.
Sure.
Yeah, you know. He doesn't look – dude, by the way, DK, see if you can find this. There's a recent picture of Emmanuel Forbes floating around the internet. Jimbo, first of all, look at this guy.
Yeah.
Look at his physique. Not the big, bulky, hulking figure, but look at him. He's not
– Yeah.
He's not a guy I would say is frail. You know, he's, sure. He's a thinner guy. He's definitely on the thinner side. I'll he's give lean. You that. But if you haven't seen the picture of this year of Emmanuel Forbes, it will knock you on your ass, Jimbo. And I'm hopeful that DK can find it because it's like what the hell? The fan standing next to him looks way more like a player than he does. It's really bad crazy news. So for those who are comparing Nate Wiggins because of you know, and them being a little bit lighter, very different guys.
Yeah, well, that's good to hear, and I'm looking forward to Nate being out there. I said it before. I mean, I felt kind of bad for my reaction on draft night. I really liked my guy, but I'm really excited about Nate Wiggins because I think, like I said, his specialty, which is number one thing as a corner, is to cover, is what he was best at coming out. So I'm looking forward to seeing him do it, man, and really put the pads on here.
Bro,
there's no way that's him on the left.
My on left, the left, the
with the
bro.
Red.
On the left.
Dude, there's no way. Is that kid a high schooler too?
I don't know, but it's the guy on the left, guys. Look at his legs.
Oh, he's got reverse kneecaps, bro. They invert. Like you see the look at his left leg. See how it bows in?
It goes out for the kneecap and back in.
Dude, what is happening here?
Like, bruh. I'm skinny dude, but bruh.
Wow.
Come on. Like, that is insane, dude. Like, man. This is talking year two guy. This isn't.
Yeah. Like, have you been in the weight room at all? Have you been, like, just eat more?
It just blew my mind when I saw this picture. Like, I'm like, is it doctored? You know, I mean, you never really know nowadays. Like, we could find out, but this is a couple days ago and I haven't heard it. You know, usually chat will go, guys, this is fake. You've been had, but I haven't seen that. So
brutal. Yeah, big difference. Ooh. Big difference.
Yeah. Nate Wiggins is not Emmanuel Forbes. So don't.
Dude, Emmanuel Forbes, I mean, there's more money in this than endurance racing, but he might have picked up the wrong career path.
Yeah.
You know, he might have been a good, he probably can run for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, that dude, like, usually to see the knees come out like that is like with children because it's tough for kids to build their leg and butt muscle. Like, that's a muscle group that takes a lot of work as they get older. But not in an athlete to see thighs that skinny.
Who's the dude on TNT that's got the goofy, the wonky legs? Kenny.
Oh, Kenny Smith. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got them Kenny Smith legs.
His knees knock. Yeah.
What is happening? Oh.
Come on, man. Yeah, it blew my, like, I was like, whoa, there's no way. But. Anyway, there wasn't a ton of
but you're right, really quickly, you're right. Big difference. Physique, big difference.
Yeah, they're not even close. Most of what we saw come out of training or of OTAs today was just what we heard from the pressers. We didn't see a lot of stuff leaking out or anything like that because just there's not a lot of, first of all, there's not a lot going on, but also there's not a ton that you know, guys are allowed to leak out there and record. So most of what we got is from the pressers. However, I will quickly just go over some transactions here, Jimbo. We did see that our guy, Jamion Franklin, D tackle out of Duke, was waived today, this morning, in fact. And in place, they signed defensive tackle Deidre Sinat, as well as nose tackle Josh Topu. So we'll be rooting for the guy. Certainly was courteous enough to come on our show. We certainly appreciate that. And it was unfortunate how we found out, because I reached out to him this morning to see if he wanted to come on. And that's when he kind of told me, before the news was even public, that he had been waived. But I'm sure he'll land on his feet. And if he doesn't in the NFL, that guy's got a big, bright future ahead of him. No doubt about it. Even if it's not in football, but did want to go over that with you guys really quick. And then Jimbo, I'm just going to hit you with some questions, I guess, from the presser. You tell me, or comments from the presser. You tell me and react what you think. Isaiah Likely was the first up, at least on my screen. Says he's more confident going into the season compared to last.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be a massive difference going from a guy who, like, we didn't really know exactly what we had with Isaiah Likely. Now there's no secret. He's not surprising anyone, but that's gotta be a big difference in his confidence level.
Big time. Absolutely. I mean, I don't disagree with you. I think that the thing that I know Andrew's talked about, and I think both of them, if I'm not mistaken, kind of commented on one another about being an exciting duo. The thing that he's got to work on, to me, is just his consistency in the running game. Just being consistent and keeping his hands in the right place so he stays out of trouble. Now, we didn't see a ton of it last year, but you got to be in the right place at the right time, and that's how you kind of, I think, take a next step. Remember how Mark was his first year blocking in comparison to just those few years following that? I mean, it was a total difference, right? Mm-hmm. So the little things, exploiting what he does really well. But no, I'm excited for Isaiah. It'll be interesting to see how the balance goes here, because there's only one football. Now Monken knows how to use two tight ends, probably better than a lot of people out there. He did it very successfully at Georgia. I'm looking forward to this guy and seeing what he can do. How are you feeling about Likely and the balance of these two going into this season? Because sometimes, Glenn, like, it's a little easier when you know who your lead dog is in each position group. And I'm not saying that Mark is still the, like, don't get me wrong, Mark's the all pro, right? Like, Mark's been there, done that. Isaiah kind of substitute taught, right? Like, while Mark was out,
right, you know what I mean?
And he excelled, like, don't get me wrong, but you know, you kind of have both of these figures in the room now. How do you see that shaking out?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably one of those problems that's a good problem if you're an offensive coordinator, of having too many guys that want and deserve the ball. I think that he's going to take big time advantage of these two this upcoming season. I think we're going to see a ton of two tight end sets, like you mentioned. And look, Likely said it, his focus this past offseason was at the top of his routes, but also blocking on the perimeter.
Yeah.
And he kind of included Ricard in the tight end room and said he's the best in the league at doing it. So hopefully that's true, and that he worked himself at least to be effective enough to shield guys off. We're not looking to pancake Pat out here and putting guys on their toughest. Sure. But like you mentioned, Mark has developed himself because of just how massive of a human he is, that he can at least get in the way and make it to where you can't make the tackle. Mm-hmm. Like, so hopefully if he can do that, Jimbo, and they can become not just versatile in that they got two great tight ends and you don't know who to throw, the run pass versatility is unbelievable. And then the explosiveness from everywhere on the field. Cause I don't think anyone would argue Likely's explosive. Mark Andrews is explosive. Zay Flowers is explosive. Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson. I mean, the list just goes on and on. And I remember a few years ago where we had one explosive guy, and that was Lamar Jackson. So the fact that we've come this far and to confidently say all those guys are who they are, it's pretty exciting. But yeah, I mean, it says his number one goal though this year, Jimbo, number one goal for Isaiah Likely: make sure you're having fun. What do you think? What do you think about that? Number one.
I think there's a time and place for fun. I struggle with this one, Glenn, because, like, I do perform well when I'm having fun. Like, I get that.
Yeah.
You got to stay loose to a certain extent. But I think that the best way to put this is you got to be appropriately you, right? Like, when it's natural for you to have to get out there and laugh and be jovial, then do that. Like, don't feel like you need to. So let me back up really quickly. I used to have these kids on my team that would get super pumped and like listen to music and smash each other's heads and stuff. Dude, that just wasn't me. Mm-hmm. Right. And like one time my teammate came up to me, I was on the cross and he hit me in the head like real hard in the back of the head of my helmet. And I was like, dude, not part of my process. Like,
not the rah-rah guy.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's not my thing. I have a time and place for that. But prior to the game, I like to be loose, whatever. And so you just got to be yourself. Like, whatever his thing is, if he's playing best when he's having fun, then do that. But don't like be artificial about something, right? Like, don't try and be Mamba all the time if that's not you.
So you mean to tell me you wouldn't have been front and center in one of those patented Ray Lewis pump up pregame speeches, bruh?
Oh, dude, watching. Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
Okay, all right.
No, that's different. But I'm talking about like, yeah, like I have a thing about my head. I don't like my head getting
You're like hit. Albert, who's it? Who was it? Oh, the third baseman, Beltre hated when they touched his head. And hey, he's a big scary guy, so don't do it.
Yeah. So I have a head thing. That was my thing. But yeah, anyway. But just be you. Like, that's the most important thing. Don't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Don't be an artificial version of yourself because this is what they say you should be.
Right. And
we're going to get into another guy who made sure to point out that he's not going to do that either. Asmodeus, appreciate the protein shake donations and the continued generosity. You are
Race
the man.
Race week, baby. Race week. Good week for protein shakes.
By the way, shout out to Cole Jackson. Ran his first, Jimbo. He ran it.
How did he do? Do we know?
I don't know if he posted his results.
Do we know the name of the race?
You know, because then we could just look it up, share the screen.
Yeah. I'll just stalk him.
Put him right out there, dude. Yeah. But he did. I will say this. He pulled a Jimmy, and he posted a shirtless picture of himself on social media.
Go!
You know what I'm saying, dude? He pulled a Jimbo.
Dude, I did not post a picture of myself, though.
Well, it somehow made its way.
Thanks, DK.
Half marathon, by the way. He said, tarps off, baby. Tarps off.
Dude, got to. That's what happens when you get old, man.
Yeah, dude,
I'll tell you in a second.
Oh, there it is. Perfect timing.
Did you guys see the picture of our guy Cole Jackson running the half marathon, also topless Jimmy? Nice job, Cole. Let's go, Cole.
Wow, what a perfect comment that was.
I love it. Yeah, shout out to Don C. DK, if you find the name of it somewhere on Twitter, I will search it so we can find a time. I'm curious to know his time because I'm like that.
Yeah, man. He's got the shades on. He's got the short shorts. My man is killing him.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Joining the podium was wide receiver coach Greg Lewis, of course, former wide receiver himself. And I found this interesting because Bateman was a very hot topic. Everyone pretty much was asked about Rashad Bateman. And he was as well. And he said, so they kind of called it untapped potential, but Greg Lewis wasn't willing to call it untapped potential when asked about Rashad, because he said that he played well last year. The ball just didn't always find him. Do you think that's kind of a fair assessment, that it's not fair to call it untapped? That potential's been tapped. It's out. We can see it. It just hasn't led to production.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it, right? Like, it's not like he isn't where he needs to be, is where I think he was saying. Like, it's not like he needs a ton of polishing to go out there and crush it, right? Like, he's put in the work and he's where he needs to be. But He just needs to get more opportunities is the way I kind of interpret that. So yeah, I think it's an okay way to put it.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that he stopped it and wouldn't call it untapped potential, because I think we've seen a lot of Rashad Bateman's talent. Like, it's not like we're waiting to see it. Like, we've seen it. We just need to see it turn into production, and hopefully his health will help with that. Also, Greg Lewis was complimentary of Malik Cunningham and his position change, saying that his knowledge of the quarterback position will help him as a receiver when facing stuff like zone coverage. You know, that wide receivers in the NFL, they are asked and forced to read defenses as well. And so his ability as a quarterback, already knowing how to do so, will only make this transition easier. You buying into it?
Yeah, 100%, aren't you?
I mean, I anytime a quarterback is going this late in his career to change positions, it's an uphill climb.
No, I don't disagree with you, but I like seeing when Kadri talked about his son Kadir, switching over. I think that's a huge advantage for a kid if you grow up playing football through the lens of a quarterback and then turn around and play another position. It's just like this in my mind, and this might not be the same anymore because the position's kind of been diluted. But if you think of old school, like early 2000s point guards, and the way that they see a game in comparison to your forward who sees the game, it's just a different lens, right? Like, it's you have to know where everyone is all the time, no matter what, right? Not just you, but everyone. Mm-hmm. And so that makes your life easier when you're like, oh, I only need to worry about myself for the most part here. And you're able to read coverages and stuff like that. I mean, I think it helped Anquan. I think it's helped Travis Kelce. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, I think it definitely gives him a leg up in the likelihood of being able to successfully transition from a quarterback to wide receiver.
Yeah, let's see.
Other things have to work out, but I think it's a definite advantage if he can get it done.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see. I just saw Cole's picture, by the way. Shout out, dude.
You know what I'm saying, bro?
Arkansas, baby. I love it. Dude, no shame in his game, bro.
Let's go. And he shouldn't. It's that's no easy task, that's for sure, as we get older.
It's not all about aesthetic, it's about what your body can do, right?
Hey, dude, he looks pretty good to me. Okay.
He looks looking great.
Looking pretty good to me. Lewis went on to say that Zay Flowers was responsible for the pass catchers doing push-ups after drop passes. I went on to say that Zay has taken on more of a leadership role with Odell no longer there. Do you like seeing that? I mean, do you think it's just natural, normal kind of flow of his career that he's eventually going to be the alpha, the leader, the everything in this room?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't know. I guess part of you would want it to be Rashad Bateman, right? Like, he's been here the longest at this point.
But if it's not him, if he's not that gregarious, outspoken.
Right. It's got to be Zay for sure. And Zay definitely has that in him. Mm-hmm. I think the most important thing that I think Zay does a good job of, you know, and with his work ethic, is you just got to model, right? You got to model it. Like, we're all children. Children don't really listen to what you say. They just do what they see. And so, like, to that same extent, your teammates are just going to match the standard that you set. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that, you have those expectations of yourself. And unless you're the late Kobe Bryant Lakers teams who don't respect themselves enough, according to Kobe Bryant, the late, great Kobe Bryant, then, yeah, they're going to follow suit, right? So I think it's good. I think it's excellent.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to see. That guy is definitely going to be a special, special player. Already is, yeah. and he's definitely going to get better. All right, Rashad Bateman's time came, where he was asked a bunch of questions. And I tell you what, ever since really this offseason, where there was a lot of question marks, where was he going to be? Were the Ravens going to trade him? Were they going to, you know, allow him to just play out and then sign elsewhere? This guy has been so incredibly mature in how he answers these questions. And sometimes it's easy to do that early on. Like, it's not easy, but it's easier to do that early on where you can say the PC answers. I'm sure they have, you know, they have resources where guys could go, all right, what am I supposed to say here? Because if I say what I really say, it's going to be a problem. It seems genuine from Rashad. Like, everything he said, this doesn't seem like he's just PCing it up and trying to say whatever PR guy is telling him to say. This seems just like that. He just has a very mature way of looking at what happened to him, his situation here with the Ravens. Talked about this healthy of an offseason is the first time he's had this since he joined the NFL. And he wasn't willing to blame the Ravens. He was just saying he's not sure what the difference was between college and now, but he hasn't been healthy until this offseason. Have you been impressed as I have been, Jimbo, of his just maturity through this whole
situation? Seems grounded. I think, like, that's a good word for it, right? He just seems really grounded, like centered.
Yeah.
Not to sound too like a yoga instructor, right? But like, he seems like he has a foundation. You know what I mean? Has a belief system, and he's just playing. He's just being patient, right? Give himself an opportunity. Talked about it, right? Like, this is his first healthy offseason. Holy crap. Mm-hmm. Like, what a blessing. What an opportunity to have that all out in front of him, you know, and to be able to have that perspective and to go in there. And I think part of it is it's self-esteem is bred by, you know, positive self acts, right? Like, he's done the work. He's put in the time. And if things don't work out, things don't work out. But he can be positive about how he feels and he esteems himself because he just seems like he's doing the work and letting the process play itself out. So I'm not that I haven't liked Rashad in the past, but the more I listen to him talk, the more I like him. Mm-hmm. So yep. I'm looking forward to it. I know that he's kind of a lightning rod for Ravens fans, but at this point, I'm really excited to see what he and Zay can do together, man.
Yeah, and I know they were drafted in the same round of the same year, but him and Adafe are definitely the two lightning rods on either side of the ball.
Oh yeah, draft. It's a good point.
And big years for both, and I think expectations are high on both sides for both guys as well. So we'll kind of wait and see if these guys can live up to those expectations. But he also talked about the extension. He said it came out of nowhere. Says he feels blessed, but did not see them offering him that extension. Said for him, it was a no-brainer and that he loves playing here and he's happy he got it done. But were you surprised to hear that he was shocked that an extension was offered?
Yeah.
He was kind of thinking he was probably going to have to play elsewhere.
Yeah, I was a little surprised. And I think what it means is that the Ravens they very much believe in and value Rashad Bateman. Mm-hmm. Because if they were proactive about it, you know, and maybe they obviously it sounds like they knew as soon as he did or before he did the situation, then they wanted to be the ones to extend a hand. I think that's awesome. That's gotta make you feel good too, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, to be shocked in that regard, like when you're thinking, man, are they going to be done with me? Am I going to have to find a new city? I'm going to have to move my whole family. And then you get that surprise, like, hey, not only do we want you here, but we're willing to give you this amount of money to do it. And let's get it over with right now. Yeah, I mean, he talked about the comfort of knowing that not just the contract being done, but also know what his playbook is going to be this year, who his coach is going to be going forward, who his quarterback's going to be, like all that. So he can just go out and play ball and doesn't have to focus on any of that stuff. It's pretty cool to see. Also, when asked about his leadership, and he talked about kind of how you said, Jimbo, he's not going to be anything different than who he is, and that he leads more so by example and hopes the younger guys can see how he works, how he prepares, and learn from that. So he's not going to try and change who he is just to try and become a more vocal leader. I like that. Don't just try and shoehorn and crowbar.
Yeah, it's so annoying.
Because then you come off as like a goofball phony to your teammates, and that's not good.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. It's just, be who you are, man.
Yep, it's good enough. It's always going to be good enough to just be you and try and be the best version of you. That's all anyone can ask. All right, then now Mark Andrews came to the podium, and he says that him and Likely should be a dynamic combination at tight end. Mm-hmm. Says they're both mismatches no matter where they're lined up. And also, what I love about Mark Andrews, I know Lamar has to love it too, even though he may not like vocally say how – he always makes a point to compliment the shit out of Lamar Jackson.
He always does.
Like, he never misses opportunity, says he's second to none at the quarterback position.
Yeah. No, I mean, he has to understand that, like, you know where your bread is buttered.
But that's his guy, man. That is, even when not asked about Lamar. Like, and you remember we still have Lamar? Yeah, that guy's still here.
Right.
Don't forget about him.
Now, it's funny. You probably aren't asking Mark about fun too much. See, that's just not his – it's not his M.O. You know what I mean? His fun is a different fun.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. It's working at football. And he said that last season was hard because, you know, he got to see his teammates playing for something, you know, pretty big and that he missed so much of it with the ankle injury, but said that working so hard to get himself able to play in the playoffs, even though he was still dealing with injuries, is what set him up for such a great offseason this year. Yeah. And that this is really going to propel him into a great 2024 season. So that was kind of, that was good to hear, and certainly he seems motivated. He seems confident. So that was nice to see. And then when he was asked about Derrick Henry, Jimbo, he immediately started smiling. And like, he's like a little kid where he's trying to not smile, but he can't. Just at the excitement of knowing Derrick Henry. And then he went on to point out, and don't forget that Lamar Jackson's in that backfield with him.
My goodness. I tell you what, if they're excited, you know we're excited just watching it. Really quick, funny anecdote. I don't know if this is an anecdote, comparison. Ron Swanson, I know you haven't watched it. He's really bad at having fun. Okay. And finally, at the end of the show, he gets married. He like, his wife is like, Ron, have some fun. They're at a fair. They're at the state fair. And he's like, oh, I had plenty of fun today. I recalibrated all the scopes in my rifles. Enough fun for me for that. Like, that's very Mark Andrews, right? Like, Mark, go have some fun. I had plenty of fun today. Hit 2 hours in the gym and caught 500 balls off the jugs.
Yeah, relaced my cleats.
Yeah, tons of fun. I'm good. Like
it's just all about work.
You know,
it's all
about ball. No, I love that. But yeah, man, it has to get you riled up when a guy like that is thinking about, because you know what Mark's thinking about, loaded box, explosive play, more opportunities, and not just more opportunities for him, like he's a selfish guy, because Mark certainly is not, but just more ways to beat you, right? Like even, you know, less pressure on him and Lamar, right? Like let's give Derrick Henry the ball and let him do his thing with 8 minutes left in the game, you know? So, man, I'm excited about this, dude. I can't wait to see how this offensive line turns out. You've been peppering me with questions, Glenn. I feel like it's my turn. But so I really just want to get back to what we were talking about with Likely and Mark. Is there any way that this thing goes south with both of them out there? Not there's always a way, but like, do you have any concerns about it? Say Mark starts slow.
I mean, Likely the only
takes off, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, I don't think it would be, but from Markson. I think the only way there's frustration if it's from Isaiah Likely, and it doesn't look like it the way he talks about Mark. It doesn't look like there's even a chance. But that's the only thing I could see, because even when he had a really good 1-2 punch and used his tight ends a ton at Georgia, Brock Bowers was still the guy. Like he was still. There has to be – it's not going to be a 50-50 split, I don't think, between him and Isaiah Likely. So someone's going to have to get the lion's share, even if it's not by the biggest of margins. I think Mark's going to be that guy. And so I guess there's potential that Isaiah could – but he just doesn't come off as a jealous guy to me. So I think it's unlikely. But there's one place I think any chance – because Charlie Kohler's put in a lot of work this offseason.
Yeah. Mark was talking about, wasn't he?
Talked about it, and really the reporters are talking about just the obvious difference in his physique. And then Mark talked about his want to not just be a good receiver. Like he's focused on being a good tight end, and that includes blocking and catching the football. That's the guy I'm most worried about, because he's competing not only with those two guys ahead of him, but also what Likely described as the best blocking tight end in the league in Pat Ricard. So if there's frustration, it's probably going to be from Charlie Kohler, because even if he does everything right, even if he nailed this offseason, worked his ass off, and became a way better football player, he's still fourth on this depth chart at tight end. It's got to be tough.
Yeah.
Because Pat Ricard, I'd say, is the third tight end, and
But in a lot of ways, I guess my only argument to that would be, in a lot of ways, you could correct me. I might be thinking about this wrong. Won't there be a lot of scenarios where Pat and a Likely or Pat and Mark are out there potentially more than, like, I feel like Pat's going to be out there a lot, right? Like, so I guess what I'm saying is that not that it makes much of a difference, but in my mind, if I was Charlie, I'd be like, okay, I'm actually the third, because Ricard's like a different, he's just different, right? Like he does different things. He's out there in different scenarios and stuff like that. I don't know. Maybe I'm trying to make Charlie feel better.
Where's like, Charlie going to play?
How? No, you're right. It's like, yeah, what's going to happen? But I think this is the thing for him. This is where he needs to practice some patience, right? Practice some patience, continue to learn, and know that you'll have your opportunity. He's going to have his opportunity, whether it's here or somewhere else.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's just the name of the game. Right. Like Mark Andrews isn't going to play forever. And he certainly, he might not play here forever. You just never know. Right. I'm not saying he's out the door. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to go out and say we're going to trade him because Charlie Kohler's taken off. But I guess you didn't see my wink there.
Oh, no. Sorry. I was.
No, anyway.
I can literally see your whole face, except I can only see the right side of your face. Here we go. Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad. Yeah. I like the rest. I like to look at the rest of your face while you're trying to wink this one eye. Like the other, the rest of it's like,
dude, check out the ears. Check out the ears. Can you see that?
Dude, I can. You're like alfalfa.
Yeah, I can move one. Ready for this? This is just one. Ready?
Bruh. You're alfalfa.
You like that, dude?
This guy's got skills.
Anyway, yeah. I mean, I think Charlie just got to practice some patience because injuries happen, which we don't want to, but they do.
Yeah.
Guys move on. Things happen. Like, it just, he's just got to practice some patience, man. I don't know.
Yeah. And look, it could
be. Or say, play me at wide receiver.
Well, I mean, so would Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely say the same thing. But I think the way he finds success is everyone's gonna overlook that guy when he comes in. And maybe it is starts as a blocker, and you slip that guy, you know, underneath the coverage and you sneak a touchdown.
And dominate in the preseason, dude. Just dominate. Mm-hmm. When you get your opportunity to put tape out there, just make people look silly.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. And he's gonna have opportunities certainly in the preseason. No doubt about it. Mark Andrews was also in favor of the hip drop ban. Any surprises there?
No, of course. Of course. I just don't know. I don't know what the heck we do here. Like, I don't know how you referee it. I'm just trying to figure it out because just I'm learning it. Not that I'm one way or another. I think it's just tough. So if I understand correctly, it's like the swing around, right? Like,
it's the dropping your weight on the back of their legs
while grabbing them around. I hate that. It looks terrible.
Yeah, it does. And it's just, like you said, the policing of it could be frustrating, especially in the early parts where they're really trying to get it out and emphasize it.
Yeah.
It could get
to... I think as a whole, the NFL just needs to utilize the eye in the sky better. I think they just do.
Yeah.
Because there's no way you don't have the technology for the referee in the sky to say, hey, you know, blow the whistle.
In 2 seconds.
Yeah, and let's move on. Like, let's just throw the penalty. Let's not make it a freaking thing every single time. And then you replay it on the screen 1,000 times.
Yeah.
Right? Like, let's not do all that, you know?
Yeah, it's goofy. Blake Oliver says, and I appreciate the generosity. Appreciate the super chat. He says, man, I can't wait for the season. I'm taking my dad to the Ravens and Cowboys game for his birthday. That's awesome. He's a Cowboys fan. So hopefully the Ravens will blow them out. Absolutely. Look, that's anytime you can take your dad to anything that he's a fan of or enjoys doing, it's a pretty special day. I'm sure you guys will have some fun with the fact that you're on opposite ends of the aisle there. But, man, there's nothing like going to a live football game with passionate people. It's going to be an absolute blast, I'm sure, Blake. Yeah, man. And, I can't wait for this season as well, no doubt.
Yeah, enjoy it. And, take lots of pictures. My only challenge to you, my friend, Blake, is take 10 pictures of you and your dad. You and your dad, not of the field. Take 10 pictures.
That's
you and
right.
your dad.
That's
right. That's going to be awesome. So make sure you soak in the memories.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right. Before we get too filled up with emotions here, let's move on to the next.
Yeah, let's quick shout out to Travis Rumpel in the chat. I believe he might be new. What's going on, Terry? What's going on, Don C, Tanja, Adam? Appreciate you guys. All the familiar names in there. I appreciate you. This is the time of year. Oh, there's Dave, our guy Dave. What's up? Join it for the live for the first time in quite some time. But news is going to continue to fly. These OTAs will continue. I think they have off tomorrow, but then back at it for the next 2 days after that, and then another round of OTAs in the third week before, you know, there's a bit of a break, and then training camp's going to be right around the corner, ladies and gentlemen. The news is really never off for the off season. There's no such thing as an off season for football. So make sure you hit the notification bell, click the like. We will keep you up to date on all your Ravens news. But Jimbo, is there anything else that I've missed that you want to point out?
No, other than I mentioned it. It's race week, baby. Baltimore 10 miler. If you haven't signed up and you feel like doing something, it's a manageable race. So
if you feel like losing to Jimmy,
no,
sign up.
No.
Sign up. Come at him.
No,
and get your courses marked right this time so my mans don't get lost.
That was on a trail, not on the road.
Well, get the trail marked right, organizers.
That's right. Yeah, no falling over flags, okay?
Dang. Some bullcrap, man. He got this man out here running 2 more miles than everybody else in the damn race.
Still finished more than half, faster than half the people. Dang. Anyway, but yeah, go come out and hang out. And if you want to, just DM us and we can take some pictures.
Yes, sir. See
you. All right, cool. See ya.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.